In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, I will read for the text a portion from the second book of Samuel, the 12th chapter, verses 15 through 23. And the words are heard in Jesus' name. And Nathan departed unto his house, and the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted, and went in, and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth. But he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child died. And the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead. For they said, "Behold, while the child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he then vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead?" But when David saw that his servants whispered, David perceived that the child was dead. Therefore David saith unto his servants, "Is the child dead?" And they said, "He is dead." Then David arose from the earth, and washed and anointed himself, and changed his apparel, and came to the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he came to his own house, and when he required, they set bread before him, and he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, "What thing is this that thou hast done? Thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive. But when the child was dead, thou didst rise and eat bread." And he said, "While the child was yet alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, Who can tell whether God will be gracious to me, that the child may live? But now he is dead, wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me." Amen. This text brings before us one happening from the life of King David. He wept over this small child, over the death of this small child. David experienced many times in his life, many different happenings, and the feelings which were attached to these, he wrote in the Psalms, of which about half are David's writings. They contain trust and thanksgiving toward God. God was the same sort of person as we are. He experienced joy. But in his life was also sorrow. He experienced evil and the effects of sin as we do. But he also experienced the forgiveness, that great and sweet experience. He knew how it felt, how the scars of sin felt. He experienced great trials, but believed that they were from the love of God, his care. David was after Saul, the second king of Israel. After Saul, this nation was divided in two. Before this, our text is stated how David united the nation and he became the king of the entire nation of Israel. He won or was victorious over his enemies. There was peace in the land. This text was written at a time when King David was king for about 10 years. The promised land was almost totally in his control. When one spring, after he stayed in the palace when he sent his army to fight. He fell into sin, the sin of adultery, and he also fell into the sin of murder, so that he could get this wife for himself, Bathsheba. It is stated in the Bible what David did. He was evil before God. David and Bathsheba had a child. Through this sin which David, or the sin which he did, weighed on his mind. In Psalm 32, he says that when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moistures turned unto the drought of summer. God awakened his heart, but here he was not able to confess this sin. Nathan came to speak unto him, and he was very remorseful over his actions. He felt that Nathan was sent by God. I have done sin against the Lord. And Nathan said, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. And David writes in the Psalms that I confessed unto you. I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions against the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of thy sin. And in Psalm 51, he states that, but unto the wicked God saith, what hast thou to do? Declare my statutes, or that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth, seeing thou hatest instruction and castest my words behind thee. He received this action forgiven, but surely he didn't forget it. It followed as a spike in his muscle, as Paul did when he, as an unbeliever, made fun of the kingdom of God. David did not let his men Luther write in his time that sin is not forgiven so that it would be forgotten or that it would not be, but so it would not be read unto him. We are responsible for our actions before the temporal laws. even if we would receive them forgiven. God gave through Nathan the forgiveness of sins unto David, but at the same time he made known that David had with that bad action greatly sinned against the Lord. And David was able to hear that God will let bad things happen unto his family. And it's stated here that for thou hast through this action sinned against the Lord, your son will die. God showed with these actions the greatness of his kingdom. In his hand are the days written of our lives. David and Bathsheba's small child became greatly ill. David turned onto God, fasted, and spent his nights lying on the bare ground. The text states that on the seventh day, this child died, and the servants of David feared to tell him that the child was dead, for they thought that while a child was yet alive, we spake unto him, and he would not hearken unto our voice. How will he vex himself if we tell him that the child is dead? The servants had seen the great sorrow of David before the death of the child, and they did not wish to deepen it with this news. They feared that he would not last the news. They could perhaps feel his sorrow. Sorrow is a familiar feeling unto us all. It belongs to our lives. Often it comes with no notice. It touches and hurts. David did not want to discuss this sorrow, and people who carry sorrow perhaps want to turn into themselves, but they need someone to listen to them, to travel beside them. We can experience that God gives us these travel companions to support us when we experience difficult times. This kingdom of God is one which remembers one another, remembers others through prayer. When David saw his servants whispering amongst themselves, he asked, that is the child dead? And they answered, he is dead. When he heard of his death, he went into his house and worshipped. And when he came to his own house, he required food. And they set bread before him, and he did eat. Then said his servants unto him, what thing is this that thou hast done? thou didst fast and weep for the child while it was alive. Then he said, while the child was alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, who can tell whether God will be gracious to me, that the child may live? But now he is dead, wherefore should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. David believed in God, and David believed in the resurrection. David had many sons. The scriptures tells of 19 sons. And David's family happened much evil, as God stated through Nathan. The firstborn, Amnon, did evil unto his half-sister. David did nothing about this evil deed, and for this reason, the second eldest son, Absalom, took judgment into his own hands and killed his brother, Amnon. David sorrowed over his boy, Amnon, and Absalom fled. After 5 years, he met his father once again, and the scriptures state that Absalom threw himself onto the ground before his father, and the king kissed him. Absalom rose up against his father, and after 4 years, swore himself to be king. David was brought word of this, that the minds of the Israelites have turned unto Absalom, and the king had to flee. He fled his own son. The king left from the city of Jerusalem on foot with those who were trustworthy unto him. The Bible tells that David covered his head and left barefoot and weeping. Knowing that God knows what he is doing, he does not save one from sorrow. Life contains these travels through the valley of tears, even as God, or as David states in his Psalms. These are familiar unto us. It is not unbelief to cry, but it is distress and longing. David had time to gather more men and gathered his armies into small groups. And he gave a commandment that treat Absalom with care. His entire army heard this, and there was a battle that happened in the forest of which David won. And the commandment that David gave was not heard, but Absalom died in this battle against his father. When the king heard of the death of his child, he was overcome with sorrow and hollered, crying that my own son Absalom, if I could have died on your behalf. The joy, the rejoicing of the army turned when they heard the sorrow of the king. David said of his small child that I will go on to him, but he was not able to say on the same way on behalf of this boy Absalom. He had deep sorrow. Children are in the minds of their parents for their entire lives. A special love and care is saved for those children who have difficulties, and those children who did not have strength to believe. Worries burden us, but David says in his psalm that leave your burdens unto the Father, he will take care of you. There are you here who have lost a child. Sorrow is great, but you have been able to seek comfort in that, which brought comfort unto David in the midst of his sorrow. Hope of meeting again. Our days are in the hands of God. Before we lived, one day was lived. He knew the number of our days. Thus, David states in his psalm, we could perhaps think that even though a dear one would be taken away in their youth, they too have lived a full life, that life which God has given unto them. I have been touched by the last sermon of Lestadius. He held it when he was blessing one child who drowned in the Tornio River. Lestadius beautifully states in his sermon the portion of a child. That child was so young that he knew not of the hardships of this world. And if the Christians doubted the salvation of an unbaptized child, their doubts should be changed unto faith that this child was taken away in an accident and sits in the lap of Jesus with those children which Jesus blessed. After this, Lestadius, in his sermon, bring us onto these dear ones of this little child, the sorrowing parents, that do you not have reason to be joyful, dear parent, for you see your child sitting in the lap of Jesus. He has come on to a better father. He has received a better land and heaven where the righteous live. He will no longer miss his parents, brothers and sisters who remain waiting that moment when they are able to move onto that warm weather, onto that new Jerusalem to meet their children, their brothers and children or sisters, if they endeavor unto the end in this faith. The Bible also states or verifies this. David also said about this child, that I will go unto him. We will know one another in heaven. What is heaven like? In the book of Revelations is stated in this way. And this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man can number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. In this throng are many children. According to the large catechism, that then will come that life when forgiveness is no longer needed. Then people are pure and holy, full of righteousness. They have been freed from sin, death, in all accidents, and live in a new, undying body. There are new bodies. Here will be left those lackings, the sins on this earth. Before we are each one gathered from this life, all of our lives are numbered by day. In the book of Daniel is stated, a old man was listening what would happen. But go thou thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of these days. When the world ends, will come the time of resurrection, and the portion of Daniel, the awakening of the righteous was the everlasting life. Right after the red text, it stated that after the death of this child, David and Bathsheba received a son, and that his name was to be Solomon, and he would become king after David. When David felt his days were numbered, he exhorted Solomon to travel that right way and to be humble unto the Lord with his whole heart and soul. But Solomon fell into sin and unbelief. The Bible states and tells of many happenings in this time or in the life of Solomon. We can remember with good mind even those who have not had the strength to believe and have left. We can be thankful for them unto God that they were a gift. We can leave them and our burdens entirely unto the Heavenly Father. We can carry prayers unto the Heavenly Father and to His heart, who live yet near us, that we would meet them in God's home when we remove from this time unto everlasting life. John states that, Father, I would wish that they who have been with me, that they would be with me so that they would see my glory. Faith is a gift. Each child is born as a believer. God wishes that all would live in Him and would receive everlasting life. Faith is also a selection that must be made. Each one of us, so that faith would remain in our hearts. Before these choices, we may feel unsure of ourselves, but even in these situations, Scripture exhorts us to trust in God and His care. Don't leave your life unto your own understanding, but seek security in the Lord. Wherever you travel, keep Him in your mind. He will show you the correct way. In a new song, it stated that faith does not deny life. Hope has its destination. We can live freely, even though we may feel our differences. We can trust that one time will happen, that it there with Him in heaven. Our faith is not built on our own understanding, but in the promises of God and His grace. The disciples did not ask of Jesus more wisdom, but more faith. To remain in faith and to return into faith it does not require deep understanding or wisdom. It is within reach of all people. It is sufficient that one believes the gospel and wishes to travel in the love of the children of God. Christ has showed that greatest love, which the love of no man can reach. He gave his life on our behalf, on the behalf of we sinners. As Christians, it is required of us to preach unto others the gospel so that it is the love of neighborly love and the greatest act of love which we can show in this life, the forgiveness of sins. According to Luther, we can say unto a brother who is in distress for their sins, be, brother, joyous and of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. He continues, even though I cannot give you the Holy Spirit and faith, I will nonetheless proclaim unto you. And if you believe it, it will be yours. This freeing gospel belongs unto you as well. Who feels that you have become lost? Do you remember when you were able to, in the big tent here at services, to sing with the great throngs here the songs of Zion? In those moments, we can feel those crumbs, which, as even John stated in the Revelations, or rather the Proverbs. No, in the Revelations. That after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord of our God. Receive the gospel. Your sins are forgiven in the name and blood of Jesus. Unto peace, freedom, and joy. God was gracious unto the fallen David, and it gave David a gracious mind and treated those well who left him, who had, and also those who battled against him. Love invites back the doors of the kingdom of heaven are open for those who are lost. I remember a certain person who publicly battled against the living Christianity. I remember when we we were returning from services and said, "Now I know what is meant by faith comes through actions of love." We need graciousness during this time. There are people who, for various reasons, are not able to come to services, and are those whose lives are different, but they wish to relieve. It is important that we remember them in prayer and carry them. I remember from my youth when Pauli Kortaniemi served from this place. He said, "Dear parents, when you see in your children signs that are not acceptable for a child of God, do not take that faith away from them, but rather love them and exhort them to put that sin away." This remained in the mind of a small child. And I remember also this same speaker brother in his farewell sermon at the Rovaniemi services 50 years ago. Yesterday, through our brother Pertti, that he too remembers that farewell sermon. He remembered when the speaker brother quoted Jesus when he looked onto Jerusalem and wept. This same hill David wept and climbed. And Jesus said that how often I would have wanted to greet those children, but they did not want to come. This touched a unbelieving boy. And under this sermon was be able to receive the grace of repentance. I was then a believing 14-year-old boy. I was seeking a way for my life. And I remember those words, which that stay as those birds in the nest of the swallow. Then I realized in that nest of the parents, I would wish to remain. In that flock, I would wish to fly. With this throng, I want to endeavor. Life brings in many different ways and difficult ways, and it brought David also. But one day will come when all is cleared up. On that day, God's own will look on to their Creator from face to face. No, we look as almost as through a screen, but then we will see from face to face. One day it will be perfect, as God knows me. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of forgiveness. Sister and brother, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven unto you. You can believe all sins forgiven in the name and blood of Jesus. In Jesus' name and blood, sins are forgiven. Sins are forgiven in Jesus' name and blood, unto peace, freedom, and joy. I can, with a secure mind, look unto the future, and as a child, trust unto your dear care. With my hand in yours, near your heart, I remain in your secureness. In Jesus' name, amen.